Blog Talk Radio. good evening, good evening, good evening. I'm excited about tonight. Look at God. We are already in December. We've already started the month off with celebration. We've already started the month off with celebrating God at the beginning of the month. And we're just going to celebrate the Lord throughout this month. This is the month that has been set aside for the world to recognize that Jesus was born. Our answer, our gift, our protector, our provider, our redeemer was born in this month. That's what the world is going to be celebrating. And for those that's not going to be celebrating, they're going to miss out on a chance to say, God, I want to tell you, happy birthday. And I thank you for giving your life for me and giving me a chance to be redeemed. I just want to say amen, 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 amen. If I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank them enough. So again, good evening, everyone. My name is Minister Sylvia Kaiser, and I'm excited about what God is doing with this ministry, Smile 3E, Iron Sharpening Iron. We are doing Blog Talk Radio tonight. That's www, World Wide Web. And our speaker tonight will be the one and only, none other but our very own Dr. Serena Wright. We are so excited that God has given us this gift in the body of Christ. She's also an author. She wrote a book, and the book is called The Last Prescription You'll Ever Need. Ain't that something? Well, God provided her with a book and a title to tell you it's about the last prescription you will ever need. So if you know Dr. Wright like I know Dr. Wright, everything starts, continues, and ends with what the Word of God says and how to apply it to your life. I'm so happy that you all took time out to join us live, as well as going back in the archives to listen to it again, and for those that's listening to it for the first time, to know that God is still God. He's still alive on the throne, and he's still listening for us to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. So if you want to whisper it, you want to say it at a normal tone, and you want to holler it out, or it's for those that speak sign language, if you want to sign it to them, God is listening. So don't be afraid to say, yes, Lord. God is calling us. The best gift you can give him is your life. Is your spirit. Is your heart. The best gift you can give him is a yes, Lord. Lord, I give you my life because you gave your life for me. Lord, I give you my spirit because you gave up the spirit for me. God, I give you my heart because you love me enough to come down to this place. You left your Father's side. You left heaven to come down to this place to say, I will be the sacrificial lamb. The apostle taught on yesterday, God, the Lord said, lay the blame on me. How many of us know that's a blessing for God to take the blame for us? And I'm excited just to think about what the woman of God is going to teach on tonight about the gift. The gift that keeps on giving. You can't wrap it enough. You can't unwrap it enough. You can't give it enough. You can't share it enough because the gift is Christ. Oh, I thank God for the gift. I'm going to take a moment and I'm going to pause to see if Dr. Wright is on the air, and if she is, if she's ready to bless us with whatever God has given her, because I'm telling you, if you get your Bibles, pencil, pen, pad, and you sit back, you're going to be blessed on this evening, because this last month of December, we're giving God all the glory, all the honor, because we're going to end with the old and come in with the new. Dr. Wright, are you on the line?
I'm on the line.
Okay, Dr. Wright, it is in your hands. Please go ahead and bless us on tonight.
Thank you, woman of God. I appreciate everyone that is tuned in, and I give honor to those that manage this platform. We know that whenever we are tapped into any platform that starts with www, that we have access to the whole wide world, that we have access to tell everybody that Jesus saves and delivers and sets us free, that he has given us authority that is unyielding, that he has left us with power, that we no longer have to sit under the dominion of the adversary, but that we can break through even those things, those observational habits. Hallelujah, glory to God. Do you all know that I decided I can't be blessed and cursed? Now, if you believe that you still live under curses of your generations after you've been born again, then that by all means continue to believe that. But I have decided to believe that I cannot be blessed and cursed. And God said, to whom God is blessed, no man can curse. So I do know, however, that there are some things that we do out of habit. We saw our parents behave this way emotionally. We saw our family behave this way psychologically. Listen real good to Holy Spirit. And so I have heard people, and I myself have decided that those are then generational curses. But then I read the Bible for myself and decided that I was not going to be blessed and cursed. There are some observational habits that I have to leave behind me once I enter into the kingdom. There are some observational methods of thinking. There are some habitual ways of being that I adopted when I was not born again that I then get used because God has left his dominion resident in those that love him. Lord have mercy. But I decided I can't be blessed and cursed. But there are observational habits that we must surrender, that we must extinguish, that we must leave behind us, that we can press on toward the mark of the prize of the calling that is in Christ Jesus. A lot of things we suffer in this present day is because we're trying to stay alive in our dead condition. Lord have mercy, Jesus. We're trying to stay alive. We're trying to keep our reputation. We're trying to still be who we were when we weren't. Oh, my God. We're still trying to be the most popular one. We're still trying to be the finest one. We're still trying to be the smartest one. When God said that all of that is nothing before me, all I want you to do is come to me. If you're heavy laden, if you're burdened with sin, that was all of us, and I will give you rest. Come and learn of me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And sometimes you look at the modern day church. I mean, don't get mad. I'm not talking about your church. I mean, from California to New York, you look at the modern day church and you look at its weakness and its ineffectiveness and its inability to be resilient and its inability to influence, its inability to not compromise, its inability to be integral. And you look at the modern day church and wonder, why is it not manifesting like the book of Acts? Why are there not people who are getting out of graves, eyes and limbs that are growing in from us walking past them and are shadow casting on them? Why is it that those that lived in the days of the book of Acts did the miraculous and drew the people into them with a compelling? The people were forced to come and find out who were their God. And you look at the modern day believer and you look at yourself and you look inside your own life. Come on and go with Holy Spirit and you look inside your own circumstance and you look at your own children and you look at your own aunt and you look at your own grandmother and say, God, is there something more I should have done? We do not want to confuse a people's ability to make choices. However, we want to be it to be that our influence in their life was purely power, that our influence in their life was purely that's in their life was one that could not be questioned, that could not be mocked, that we did not live a life that mocked the same God we said we served. And so you look at our church and say, God, what are we doing? Is it something we're doing? Now, if Babylon is simply rejecting you, God, then we understand that. If the world is simply rejecting you, if their minds and hearts have been seared with hot iron, then we realize that we just remain the salt and we continue to intercede. But God, if there's something we're doing, if there's a life we're living, if there's a posture we're taking, if we're trying to continue to be who we were when we weren't, now that we are, then God, we repent. Hallelujah, glory to God. We repent as an individual. We repent as a collective. We repent as an institution. We repent as the kingdom. God, because the kingdom is making advancements. We should not be left behind. We should not be brought to shame. We should not be those that people look at and say, where is your God now? Hallelujah. But they should look on us like they looked on the disciples, like they looked on the apostles, and they knew that their God was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If we're still breathing, we still have that opportunity. If we're still living, we still have that opportunity to take up the mantle of the Father, to live in him uncompromisingly, to love him with our whole heart, mind, and strength. Hallelujah. Glory to God. To love him, to sell out to him. Hallelujah. Glory. To live inside of him, where we would live and move and have our being, to get over inside of God, to be unbothered, to be unmoved, hallelujah, by the ways of the world, knowing that the triumph of our King is everlasting. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That is who we are. That is who we get to be. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So we are going to, if you would go with me, hallelujah, let me tell you something. I hope that everyone listening, not just tonight, but in the archives, is at a place of discernment when they know Holy Spirit's talking. I mean, when you just know it, and you just grab your Bible and you grab your pen and paper, because you say, I hear the voice of the Lord. I hear him speaking through the voices that are prophetic, the voices that are evangelistic, the voices that are seen on this, that are heard through this ministry. Let me see and beckon to the voice of the Father to see what he would say to us tonight. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. Read from your favorite one. I'm reading from the Amplified Bible, and we're going to start at verse 12. Father God, I thank you right now that you have already come in the midst. You have mantled us, oh God, with your word, with your message, with your compelling, with your thrusting, with your beseeching. You've already mantled us, God, to speak to the people, for you are first always speaking to our hearts. We are grateful for your presence among us, God, for speaking and being that leads us. We thank you, Father, that we receive you tonight as our only source and navigator. We will take the word in our heart, the incorruptible seed planted in the places, oh God, where the seed cannot be plucked up, that it would bring forth the fruit of right living, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That is the kingdom. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 12. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 12, we're going to read in the Amplified Bible. It says, we are not commending ourselves to you again, but we're providing you with an occasion and incentive to be rightfully proud of us, so that you may have a reply for those who pride themselves on surface appearances, on the virtues they only appear to have, although their heart is devoid of them. For if we're beside ourselves and mad, as some say, it's for God and concerns him. If we are in our right mind, it's for your benefit. For the love of Christ controls and urges and impels us, because we are of the opinion and conviction that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, my goodness, so that all who live might live no longer to and for themselves, but to and for him who died and was raised again for their sake. Consequently, from now on, we estimate and regard no one from a purely human Consequently, from now on, we estimate and regard no one from a purely human point of view. No, even though we once did estimate Christ from a human viewpoint as a man, yet now we have knowledge of him that we know no longer in terms of the flesh. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, he's a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away, and the flesh and new has come. It says, therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, he's a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. So if you look back at verse 12, they are evangelizing to the Corinthian church, and Paul is saying, listen, no matter what we do, we want you to use our life as an example to those who are coming and saying the same things that we're saying, but they're not living the life we're living. He says that you will have a reply for those who pride themselves on surface appearances, on the virtues they only appear to have, although their heart is devoid from them. And it's so important that we understand that the things of God are at the heart level. God is always doing an inside job. He's never coming with accoutrements that people can see, but he's always working on the heart. He says that, you know, they're going to come and they're going to say what we say, but that's just on the surface. What we're telling you is something that's down on the inside of our heart. This is not something that we're trying to put on. We're not trying to make pretend. We're not trying to impress. We're not trying to be pretentious. This is because this thing has invaded our heart. It has filled our heart because he says their hearts are devoid. Their hearts are empty. Their hearts are devoid and they are empty of these practices, but we're not. And so then we give ourselves to you in that we come to you filled up with the God we're talking about. Our hearts are filled with him. We've been changed by him. He says, and if we are beside ourselves, then God will take care of it. If you see anything wrong with us, my God, this is so powerful. He said, listen, if we're beside ourselves, if we're somewhere we shouldn't be, doing something we shouldn't do, don't worry about it. God will take care of it. But when you see us doing those things that we have ministered, then it's because God wants you to be blessed. Read that real good. He said, because if we're mad and we're beside ourselves, it's for God, and God will worry about it. It concerns him. He says, but if we're in our right mind, it's for your benefit. He says, so everything that God has given us that meets you, that helps you, that transforms you, it's because God has left us here to help you. He said, but if you see anything of us that is out of order, anything, God's working on it. It's for him, and it concerns him. So all together, just be concerned. Concerned in what God is having us to share with you and what God is having us to be for you. Just stay with me. He said, because the love of God controls and urges and impels us. We could talk about that for 3 months. He said, because we believe that he who died, he said, for he died for all, so that all those who live might live no longer to and for themselves, but to and for him. See, people of God, this is what we were talking about in the beginning, that we've got to make sure that when the rubber is meeting the road, that we actually know what we signed up for. That when the rubber is meeting the road, we know that we no longer live to and for ourselves. We no longer have anything to prove. We no longer are looking for the affirmations of people. We are no longer living in that way that we are living in a way that anything that is misaligned, we've already given it to God. He's concerned about it, and he's going to take care of it. But those things that are redeemable, those things in us that evangelize, those things in us that give us compassion, those things that cause us to pray, those things that stir us and compel us to love the unlovable, it is for those that are watching us. And let us embrace the responsibility of the kingdom tonight like we've never embraced it before. He said, because it is the love of God that controls and urges and impels us. It is the love of God. Do you know, I was sharing with someone this week. I said, you know, we have this thing in the North American church, more so than I've ever seen it in the international space, where you come to the church and you give the pastor your hand and you join a clique and you become a part of a group, and fellowship is monumental. It is. But there, in my personal estimation, we skip the part where we go to God for ourselves, about them, to become made whole, to have all the woundings of the world and of our childhood, and of that relationships and misunderstandings repaired, so that we can come back to him whole, hallelujah, and his love then explode as a revelation to us that then controls and urges us and impels us to live for him relentlessly. I believe that the North American church, that the next revolution of the North American church will be the revelation, of the love of God. I believe the next revolution in the North American church will be the revelation of the love of God, because the Bible says it'll control you, it'll urge you, it'll impel you, it'll drive you, it'll encourage you, it'll push you, it'll heal you, it'll transform you, it'll reform you, it'll uplift you, it'll hold you, it'll stabilize you, it'll fix you, it'll make your physical body well, it'll heal your mental capacity. It'll give you strength and tenacity beyond your own measure. Hallelujah. The love of God, they said, it urges us and controls us and impels us, so that we no longer live to and for ourselves. You all, that is the cry, the clarion call of God tonight. We've had to lay down our own lives. My God in heaven, he is asking us, will we be those that everything about us is for the glory of the King? Everything that is amenable, everything that is commendable, everything that is praiseworthy, that we give it only as a sacrifice that someone might come to know him, that we would lay down who we think we are, who we have been, the reputations we built for ourselves in our flesh, in our relationships, even in our families, even in our families, the relationships we built, if we would lay that on the altar and no longer live to and for ourselves, but live to and for him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He goes on to say, he said, because this place of surrender, this place of complete surrender, this place of submission changes how you see things. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do you know that some of the problems we have, they just need a surrendered viewpoint? Hallelujah. He says, because we no longer regard anyone as purely human from a purely human point of view in terms of natural standards. He says, even though we once did estimate Christ from that standpoint, now we know that once you're in him, you're a new creature. The fresh and new has come. And do you understand that our human condition, hallelujah, glory to God, can be brought to solace, can be brought to a place of peace if we change our viewpoint? Do you know, sis, that situation would look a whole lot different if you had had a surrendered viewpoint? Do you know that husband, as lazy as, I didn't say lazy, Holy Spirit say as lazy as he is, he would look a whole lot different if you were looking at him from a surrendered eye level, if you were looking at him from a surrendered 2020, because right now you're just seeing him as merely human. But to see him in Christ, but to see him mantled the way that God had purposed, but to see that child mantled, to see her, the one that's talking the way she's talking and doing what she's doing and saying what she's saying, but to see her, they said that not only did the love of God urge and control and compel them, but from that viewpoint, they began to see everything differently. They said, we no longer see anyone from a merely human standpoint. There was a total renovation of how they saw things once they said, we no longer live for ourselves, but we live for God. We no longer are concerned with ourselves, but we're concerned for him, because everything that's concerning us, it already concerns him. Do you know that God has a vantage point, that God can give you a view even on the situation you're in right now, that God can give you a viewpoint even on that house that you lost, that God can give you a viewpoint even in the season of grieving that seems like it will never end, that God will give you a viewpoint even as you face this huge holiday season and you may have lost several loved ones. God can give you a viewpoint. He said, we no longer see anyone from a merely human standpoint. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do you know you can look at a racist through this surrendered viewpoint, and you will no longer see them as a misinformed human being from a merely human standpoint, but you will see them as one that God loves dearly. You would see them as one that God would die for if that racist person was the only one living. You would see the compassion of God that wells up inside the breast of the Father when he looks at that man, when he looks at that woman, when he looks at that one that's discriminating, when he looks at that one that's being unjust, when he looks at that one that's being cruel and unfair. But see, God will give you a viewpoint. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. There is a way to see your situation, sir, that'll give you hope. There is a way to see your situation, ma'am. You're just looking at it from a merely human standpoint. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You're looking at the pain that it really did cause you. You're looking at the disappointment that you really did face. You're looking at the trauma that you really did experience. Oh, but the Holy Spirit says you don't have to keep looking at it from a merely human standpoint. You don't have to keep seeing it from a merely human viewpoint. But once we get over in him, all things become new. He says there's a new moral condition. There's a new spiritual condition, and all of the other has passed away. All of the other can be buried. I know you're saying, how? How can I bury the pain of losing multiple loved ones, my home and my job? How can I bury the disappointment of the only friend I thought would never do that, did that, and some? How can you just have to get over? Somebody say, get over in him. He says those. Hallelujah. You know why I said get over in him? Because verse 17 says, anybody that's engrafted. Hallelujah. He says, if you're engrafted in him, that's when the new vision comes. That's when the new creation comes. That's when the new mindset comes. That's when the new position comes. That's when we start living for him. That's when we can lay down the issues of our life. That's when we can see them from a different vantage point. That's when we can embrace our hopefulness. That's when we can embrace our encouragement. That's when we can embrace our follow through. That's how we can get up outside of a grieving season and go on and live for the Father. That's when we can embrace the new mantle. That's when we can embrace the new assignment. That's when we can surrender when the circumstances don't seem unjust, but they are unjust, because we're seeing seeing them, hallelujah, from a different viewpoint. Oh, my God, we thank you. Hallelujah, glory to God. God just wants us to see things. From his viewpoint, that we don't just continue in a merely human vantage point, seeing things the way we've always seen them, seeing things the way we've always seen them, saying things the way we've always said them, listening to things the way we've always heard them, thinking things the way we've always thought them. He says we no longer, oh my God, we no longer regard anyone from a purely human point of view. Hallelujah. Do you know that they first begin to talk about how they surrendered and how their life was about God and him alone and how the love of God had revolutionized them and began to urge and compel them, and then they begin to talk about how they see everything different. My God in heaven, glory to God. Let me tell you, sir, all you need is just to see it different. It doesn't matter how much they hurt you. It doesn't matter that they lied on you. The pain is still there because you just need to see it different. You're looking at it from a merely human vantage point. But if you look at what God would like to do with your life, if you look at what God would like to speak through your mouth, if you look at who God would like to touch with your hands, then the pain would not be seen as something to stop you. It would urge you and propel you. It would motivate you, because God has not put on us more than we're able to bear. There are some things that God didn't put on us at all. There's just sin in the earth, and people can be given to wickedness. Some things God didn't have anything to do with. He said, but I'll work all things together for good. My God in heaven, God just wants you to see it differently, sis. He just wants you to see it differently. See, you're seeing it from the standpoint of the pain and the betrayal. You're seeing it from the standpoint of the injustice. You're seeing it from the standpoint of the unfairness. But don't you know that your resilience has withstood that has knocked down so many? And if you look at the resilience that you got from God, you won't just keep seeing it from a merely human standpoint, but you will garner strength from the resilience that God has given you, and then go minister that strength to someone else. You'll garner strength from your overcoming that God has given you, and go minister overcoming to someone else. You'll garner strength from the determination that God has given you, and go minister determination to someone else. See, the way you're looking at it, sir, the way you're looking at it, sis, you're looking at it from a merely human standpoint. But if you get in him, Lord have mercy, you'll see it. You'll see it differently. He says, let me tell you, in the engrafted is when it's going to be new. It's in the engrafted place that all of that is passed away, because God has a way, Lord have mercy, of giving you peace that'll pass your understanding. Do you know that you can pass understanding in God? Lord have mercy. Jesus help me, Father. You can go past understanding. Do you know sometimes if you try to understand some things, that you can almost get to the darkest dark place that earth holds, because you're just trying to understand, why would someone be so evil? Why would someone be so mean? Why would someone lie in my face? Why would someone get advantage of me? Why would someone hate me because I come from a certain region of the earth? Why would someone hate me because I'm Middle Eastern? Why would someone hate me because I'm female? Why? You try to understand, but do you know that there is a place where God will take, he said, he'll go past. He'll give you a peace that'll take you past your understanding. And do you know that once you get past your understanding, that all those things just pass away? all of that anxiety and all of that frustration and all of that anger. And that's when you say, you know what? I no longer live for me and me alone. I live for him. I no longer go out into the marketplace for me and me alone. I go out as a representative of him. You are, I'm still in the word, because verse 20 says, for we are Christ's ambassadors. We go out into the marketplace because we've decided, I am going to live for God. He says we no longer live to and for ourselves. We live to and for him in verse 15, because he died and raised us again for his sake. God is just calling us, hallelujah, glory to God, to find that place of surrender, to find that place of commending, where the love of God becomes a revelation that then urges and controls and leads you into a place of being a vessel and a service to all of those in your sphere of influence. We can do it. All we've got to do, tell yourself right now, all you've got to do is see it from a different viewpoint. You've got to see it from a different point of view. You can't see it as merely a life of pain and betrayal, a life of trauma and sadness. You've got to see it from the supernatural place, a place that you can only see once you're in him, living and moving and having your being, where all things become new. That's where you've got to see it. That's where you've got to draw your strength. That's where you push away bitterness. That's where you don't let hatred contaminate your heart. That's how you push it away, sis. You push it away because you get over in him. You see it from a different point of view. He says, I no longer see anyone from a merely human point of view. See, I no longer see hatred just as something to become embittered by. I no longer see the injustices of the world as something merely to become angry about. Oh, but I can see into the supernatural, where the prayers of the righteous make things happen, where the prayers of the righteous begin to turn things into King's dominion. Oh, my God, we thank you right now. God just wants us to see it differently. God just wants us to give up our merely human point of view. God just wants us to recognize that he's had his hand on our life from the beginning, that he's loved us with an everlasting love. He wants us to get that surrender. He wants us to come back to him. He wants us to surrender and repent. Give it to him. See it differently. Go out and live the life that he's called us to, no longer living to and for ourselves, but living to and for the Father. God is a wonderful God. He's a loving King, and he knows that once we get over in him, that that's when that new place comes, that we can live and move and have our beings. All things become new. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Our situations, we see them from the new viewpoint, so they become new. Our relationships, we see them from a new viewpoint, so they become new. Our circumstances, our career, our finances, our service. Let me tell you something. God has so much for us. God has so much in store for us. He just wants us to see our situation like he sees it. He wants us to see our journey like he sees it. He wants us to see our determination like he sees it. He wants us to see our resilience like he sees it. He's got an arsenal of tools and resources locked up in you, sir, and he just needs you to look with a different set of eyes so you can see it. He's got an arsenal of resources that he's built down on the inside of you, ma'am, but he needs you to get a viewpoint that's not a merely human viewpoint, but a viewpoint that you get because you let him make you new, because all of that got passed away, and you can see it the way he sees it. Listen, people of God, God is calling us. He's calling us to a life that's only to and for him. He's calling us to a life that's been revolutionized by the revelation of the love of God. He's calling us to stop seeing things from a merely human standpoint, but to look into the window of who he is, the window of the word where he lays out for us who we are in him, and then go out and advance his kingdom. That we don't need to see the things of this world the way that the world sees them, but recognize how powerful we are when we get inside of him, when we're the engrafted ones, when we're made new in him, and we go out and tell those that are lost and broken that how we found a Savior and how we live our lives in him. People of God, listen. There has never been a better time to get over in God and see your situation from the way he sees it. There's never been a greater time. There has never been a greater moment. The influence of the kingdom is about to hit fever pitch. Lord, have mercy. People are going to come looking for you. Because they heard you always praying. They're going to come looking for you, sir. I know you're going to be at work in your suit and tie, but they're going to come looking for you. They're going to ask your secretary, can they get on your calendar to ask you to pray? Lord have mercy. There's never been a time like this one where the kingdom, it will be sought after. Those that are willing to live to and for the king will be sought after. There shall be an increase and an abundance that shall come on those that are kingdom that shall reach the measure of undeniable. God has never forgotten those that have labored in love for him, that have sought him, that have withstood the test, that have labored, have been mocked and scorned. He never forgets. God says, I just need you to continue in me. Look at it differently. Let your strength come from a new vantage point. Let your determination be refueled from a new viewpoint, and continue in the places where I have made you new. Oh, I thank you right now, Father, for every word that you have spoken over us tonight concerning the place that you would urge us to come, that we would have a new viewpoint on the circumstances of our life, that we would recognize that when we are in you, we have power to live and move and have our being, that our influence through you is indescribable and monumental. You're counting on us to stay the course, to change how we see things, to recognize the need for us, that the earth is groaning for us, that we would be those that repent and return to a life that is only to and for you. We thank you for it now, God. We thank you for this and all things in your son Jesus' name. Woman of God, is back to you.
Amen, amen, amen. I am so blessed on the word that I heard on tonight. I thank God for the chance to become a new creature. I thank God for the new in my life. God, I just thank you because you have been so good to me. Oh, my God. God, I thank you. I say yes to you, Lord, all over again. I am going to give others a chance to speak into the woman of God's life on tonight. If you have anything to say, please speak now.
I just want to thank the woman of God. I mean, wow. The energy, the strength, the power of that word was transformative on tonight, Dr. Wright. God has just given you such a gift, and I thank God that we are able to benefit from it. And the word was so, just so powerful. And this version of the Amplified Bible was one that I was not familiar with. And the phrasing and the wording is just, it just really gives you, as you were saying, that new perspective that God wants us to have about what we're supposed to be about, how we're supposed to look at what he has in store for us in this life as we represent him. Thank you so much for that strong representation of the Father to us tonight. That word was amazing. God bless you. God bless you.
Thank you, Minister Margot, for those words of encouragement. Is there anyone else at this time?
Amen. This is Cecilia. I say ditto to everything that Minister Sylvia and Minister Margot have already said. I thank God for such an awesome word and for him sharing it with us. And it reminded me of I was having a conversation with someone earlier, and we were talking about reconciliation and restoration. And we were also talking about Emmett Till, because Emmett Till, as you all know, was murdered. And we were talking about how those people would be, you know, dealt with. But then God had me say, but not if they get saved first. And it just really blessed me that God transitioned me into a place that I even want the murderers of Emmett Till, with how grossly they were just mean. They were just outright wrong. But God had me desire for them to be saved, for their children to be saved. It is, like you said, Dr. Wright, when you really get engrafted in God and he's into you, you even want that person that's done something so unspeakable that surpasses all understanding. So thank you, thank you, thank you for the verification and validation.
Thank you, Apostle Elect, so much for your words of encouragement. Is there anyone else at this time who would like to speak? Okay, with that being said, on tonight, that this is a time that you should be rushing, running, jumping, screaming and hollering, yes, Lord, to come running back to him. I believe that if you heard it live or you hear it in the archive, the power in this word is going to still hold itself that strong. I just want you all to know that we thank God for the woman of God ministering to us tonight. I'm going to give you all our closing remarks, but once I get through, I'll hand it back over to Dr. Wright that she would give us a closing word and pray us out. We thank you all for this Monday night, taking time out to listen to Smile 3E, Iron Sharpening Iron, which our foundational scripture is Matthew 6 and 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I just want to say that again to you all. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's Matthew 6 and 33. Just get that in your spirit every day, seeking the kingdom of God. Just seek God, seek God, seek God, and just know that God is our provider. He's our redeemer. He's our everything. I want you all to know that we're here every Friday evening at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. This Friday, our very own Prophet Antoine Thomas will be our speaker. This is the second Friday of the month of December. He will be our speaker, bringing forth the word of God. And on Sunday morning, we have our very own Apostle-elect, Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, with Minister Sheila Kaiser and Minister Brandon Kaiser. They will be on at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. And next Monday is the second Monday of the month. We will have our very own servant pastor, Troy Thomas, who will be bringing forth the word of God at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. So don't forget Matthew 6 and 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now I'm going to give it back to the woman of God, Dr. Wright, so she can close us out and tell you all about her book that she's written called The Last Prescription You'll Ever Need. Dr. Wright, is back in your hands.
Thank you so much, woman of God. We do appreciate all the support that we have gotten up to this point for The Last Prescription You'll Ever Need. For anyone interested, you can purchase that on Amazon, and we are endeavoring to write a second book to that series as the Spirit of the Lord will allow us. But more than that, I encourage you that whatever God has given you to do individually, do it. Do it. It is worth it. There are people that will be blessed. I've gotten so many emails and messages from people like, I really needed to read that. That really helped me to understand things. And that is so so powerful, because we know that it is God's voice in us that is having us to open businesses, greet people in restaurants, to be kind, to share information, like Apostle Alex said, to be present in a conversation, to just make sure it didn't end with the hatred and bitterness that it easily could have because of what they did, but just her presence there. And so we just encourage that the body be encouraged, I guess we'll say, that the body be encouraged to just press into those places that God has given us, more than anything, that we become those who have been revolutionized by the revelation of the love of God, that it would urge and control us and move us and push us and compel us to be and to live only to and for him. God, we just thank you right now, God, that we find ourselves in you and all things are new. God, the way that we see it, the way that we hear it, the way that we'll talk about it, the way that we'll believe, the way that we'll stand, the way that we'll pray, the way that we'll declare, the way that we'll worship, that all things will be new, fresh and new for us as we find ourselves in you. And we thank you for it, oh God. We thank you for the exuberant enthusiasm, the determination and the resilience that presses us into the place of the kingdom where there is peace and joy. God, that we would be overcome with those things that are filled with contentment, that we might press into our assignments and advance the kingdom. We thank you, God, right now. We thank you for it like we've never thanked you before. God, for your word has truly, God, gone into our hearts and shall bring forth that is righteous and right standing with you and right living. God, for those that are still here with us, God, that we shall be, God, your kingdom, and we shall advance. And we thank you, God. And we give your name the praise and the glory that it is due. In Jesus' name we pray and thank God. Amen and good night.